So, Jesus wants to use me today to cheer you up. Okay? The name of my message today is The Last Day Bride of Christ. Okay? He told me we all have a good, bright future to look forward to. But our enemy also has a plan, right? But so does God. And God's plan always comes to pass. Now, in Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14, the disciples asked Jesus, when is the sign of the end coming? Now, in the Hebrew mindset, the completion of this age, the end of the world, is called the end of days to them. It is a transition into a new age of the Messiah's coming when all things will be restored. You see, they missed the first one. They're waiting for the second one. Now, Jesus answered them with these points. We're all familiar with this chapter, but it's worth repeating. So instead of reading it, I'm just going to give you some bullet points today, okay? Jesus warns us in the last days that deception will run rampant. Deception in the Hebrew and the Greek means fraud, scams, cheating, corruption, misleading, lying, leading people astray. The act of causing someone to accept as truth or valid what is false or invalid. The Bible says to us that the truth sets us free. So in order for us not to be deceived, right, we have to know the truth. So we know when a lie is and when a scam, a fraud, so we don't get misled, right? Jesus continues and says, the end is still unfolding when we hear of wars and more rumors of wars and revolutions. Well, that is happening right now. We have the Middle East crisis, we have China, we have Israel, we have Russia and Ukraine, and there are also many uprisings and protests and a lot of unrest. Now, I just heard a rumor that if NATO lets Ukraine give missiles, let them use missiles against Russia, Russia told them they will use nuclear against them. And this can cause World War III. Jesus, though, tells us, don't panic or give in to your fears. For the breaking apart of the world systems is destined to happen. Jesus goes on and says, nations will war against nations. There will be earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion, meaning like huge wildfires, horrible storms, tsunamis, tidal waves, floods taking out cities, etc., plus pandemics and famines. Jesus said in the last days there will be persecutions, even unto death, because of the love that we have for him. Now remember the definition of persecution in the Hebrew and Greek, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, means to pursue, press on, to oppress, harass, to bring judgment or punishment, to bring affliction. It implies the hunt to bring someone down like an animal, trying to suppress or punish their convictions. Now that reminds us of 1 Peter 5:8, right? It says to watch out for the enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The devil or Satan and his demons, they look to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Now, Jesus says in the last days, many Christians will stop being followers. There will be a great falling away. These Christians, I believe, fell away or are going to fall away because of the lack of knowing the truth in the Word, the lack of trust in God, because they didn't know the Father's love. They don't know the true meaning of what Jesus did for us on the cross. They weren't filled in the Holy Spirit. And they didn't know who they were in Christ. And then when the persecution came and the tests and the trials came upon them, they ran away. They couldn't stand the heat. They didn't know that Jesus was in the furnace with them the whole time, protecting them. These people eventually turn away from God, and some even say there isn't a God because of the lack of knowledge and understanding. Jesus continues and says there will be lying prophets, false teachers, deceiving multitudes, leading them down wrong paths. Like before, if we don't know the truth, you will know the false. When you know the truth, you will know the false, and you will not go astray or be deceived because we have discernment. Now it's getting too chilly in here. Excuse me. It's like right over me, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for air conditioning. Now, Jesus says there'll be an increase of sin and lawlessness, just like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and then 13 to the end. And I'm going to read that to you if you want to not turn there. So let me get to that part. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. Now, I know you know these things, but just so you know where we're at. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful, malicious slander, slaves to their desires. They will be ferocious haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted, and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these, for they are the ones who worm their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. They are always learning but never discover the revelation knowledge of the truth. And then if you go over to 13, I'm reading in the Passion. But the evil men or the deceivers and the sorcerers will progress from bad to worse, deceived and deceiving as they lead people further from the truth. Yet you must continue to advance in strength, with truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God that he's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Then it says, remember what you were taught from your childhood from the Holy Scrolls, which you can impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature, perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Amen. So in conclusion of Matthew 24, Jesus says, keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world. And then after this, the end of the church age. Then Jesus will call his church up, those that are his, which is also taken into heaven. And this is also called the rapture of the church, to deliver us from the 7-year tribulation. The 7-year tribulation, which starts the abomination of desolation, which Daniel prophesied, starting in Daniel chapter 8, 13 through chapter 12, which we're not going to go there today. But Daniel saw the end of days. I encourage you, if you want to read that at home, it's pretty awesome. All these things Jesus pointed out doesn't sound good, but we are already living in it. Right? This world system, the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus says, cheer up. I have overcome the world, and you will too. And we're doing it. We have an awesome future in Christ because we are the bride of Christ. We are victorious. We are overcomers, full of the Holy Spirit, and we walk in truth. So how can we be deceived? Those that are deceived and fall away are those that in Timothy, the book of Timothy describes in the verse as pretenders of the faith, and they live by the world system in the flesh. And they're always learning, but they never take in the time to receive the revelation and the knowledge of the truth. Jesus is our bridegroom, and he has been preparing us as his bride. Now let's go and read Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, starting 25. And it says this, and to the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. For he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the Word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw or without spot or wrinkle. Husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body, but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. For this reason, a man is to leave his father and his mother and lovingly hold to his wife, since the two have become joined as one flesh. And I think even Eric said that today. We are one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great and sacred mystery meant to be a vivid example of Christ and his church. So every married man should be gracious to his wife just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus sees us as his beloved, beautiful church, like a husband who loves his wife. The church is beloved by God. It is the story of the love of Christ who died for us, left his throne to rescue the one he loves, the church, his bride. Jesus wants us to know this. To Jesus, the church is radiantly beautiful and portrayed in the Bible as washed and pure because of the work that transformed us into Christ. Though the church is made up of sinful people, redemption is a very powerful restorative force that continues in us day by day. God sees his church made whole, holy, glorious, without any stains of sin, washed in the blood, shining in his light of his glory and his love. No spots, no wrinkles, and no blemishes. That's how he sees us. Now, the characteristics of the bride are found in Proverbs 31. The wife is a metaphor of the bride of Christ, the end-time victorious bride of Christ, full of virtue and grace. Now, here are some points made of the description of the bride of Christ. And I'll go through these points instead of reading the whole chapter. And it starts in Proverbs 31:10 to the end. You can read that at home also. But here are all the points. It portrays us as a warring bride, mighty, wealthy, excellent, morally righteous, full of substance, integrity, ability, strength, a mighty army. Just know it. We're always going to have to fight. Okay? Make up your mind. I'm a fighter. I'm a warring bride. Okay? The last day church is virtuous, overcoming, and valiant. In Proverbs 30:12, it says, we will not bring disgrace to Jesus' name, and Jesus will not be ashamed to display her to the world. In the last days, the virtuous bride of Christ will be seeking for only what is pure and righteous in the eyes of the bridegroom, Jesus. In 31:14, it says that we will bring spiritual food to feed the hungry with revelation of truth. In 31:15, it says the bride will intercedes and labors on behalf of others who need help. And we do that, don't we? When we see anyone that needs our help, we go right into the throne room and we pray. The bride of Christ will arise with the anointing to feed and bless the people. That's physical. The other one was spiritual. To be servants of the Lord. The bride is passionate about bringing forth truth. They are made up of missionaries to the nations, planting churches, and bringing new life. The bride is anointed with power to do the works of Jesus. In the bride's prayer life, she overcomes her circumstances, even in dark cultures, because she knows who she is in Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ? She is prosperous and uses her prosperity to bless the needy. In 31:22, she is not afraid of tribulation. She has her hand holding the wheels of God's government. This speaking of the fivefold ministry gifts that equip the church and the needy. Proverbs describes a garment that knits us together by the Holy Spirit. It says that everyone in our household is covered by the blood of Jesus, and grace brings righteousness to those in her house. Whew. This is an awesome picture. It also says even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. Ha-ha. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around the bride as she laughs with joy over the latter days, for she has no fear. She's full of wisdom and kindness, and she's a watchman over her house and her family. She is a radiant church in pursuit of Jesus, lovers of God, doing mighty and great exploits and miracles on the earth and praise throughout eternity. And that is the description of us. Isn't that a wonderful love letter? That's who we are to Jesus. Now in Revelation 22:17, which also Eric said today during worship, it proclaims the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Both the Spirit and the bride extend the invitation to come to the lost. Wow. The Holy Spirit's empowerment enables believers to fulfill the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. As the bride of Christ, we believers are called to have a wholehearted devotion to Christ, devoted to proclaiming the gospel and inviting others to join the household of faith. The bride's role in Revelation 22:17 then is to join the Spirit and saying, come. It's an effort to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as his bride to share the gospel to all unbelievers. Now, before the church age ends, I believe there's going to be an awesome move of the Holy Spirit, and I believe it's upon us even right now. Now, I started studying the Jewish New Year, which is Rosh Hashanah, and the year is 5785, and there's a lot of clues in that for what's coming, and man, it's very powerful. So that's what Jesus wants us to hear today. So next week, we're going to be getting into the 5785. We're going to look at 5784, and I was looking at that, and a lot of things in that came to pass. So get excited, guys. This is our time with God. Ooh, this is exciting. We're not here by accident. We were born at this time, and God knew that we were able to do it. Because we're strong and we're mighty. So remember to fight, right, Allison? You fight, girl. You fight the fight of faith. Don't ever give up. Okay. Let me pray and release you guys. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing inside of us. Lord, I thank you that you encouraged us today to show us who we are, how you see us without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, because of the blood that was shed, Lord. All our sins are forgiven. And Lord, we thank you that we walk in holiness and righteousness. And Lord, that you have a great plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. You have a destiny. You have assignments. And Lord, as we go through our everyday, Lord, we will hear from the Spirit. We will align ourselves with the Spirit, and we will be one. And as we go out and be one, Lord, you back us up. You said in Matthew, wherever we go, you back us up. And we're never alone. Even when the heat is on, we could stand there because Jesus, you're with us, and we'll always go through. So, Father, we thank you for victories. We thank you, Lord, for favor, those tremendous open doors of opportunity to speak to people and put us in the right places, Lord. We thank you. This is a season of where you're moving us all around. Lord, you're changing things. You're bringing increase in your spirit in us. You're elevating our spiritual gifts like never before. Lord, we know that we don't have any fear. Just let it loose, let it out in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and praise you that you are moving mightily in us, in Easton, in the Lehigh Valley. So Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.